during a bath, and the dog spat something out into my employee's hand, and she came and brought this rotten molar that had fallen out of the dog's mouth.
Welcome to The Consult Room, the podcast that celebrates pets and people. I'm Dr. Paul Magtalo. I'm a veterinary surgeon with a passion for the rich insights and stories about pets in the modern world that we live. Whether you're a pet owner, a pet professional, or you just love hearing about pets, then this is the space for you. A recent study by the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons showed that 1 in 8 of our nation's dogs will suffer from dental disease this year. However, the signs of this will often be missed by owners, meaning many of these dogs are in hidden misery with pain, infection, and the risk of more serious disease. I'm joined today by Anastasia Woff, otherwise known as the Dog Tooth Fairy. Anastasia has worked with animals her whole career, including the veterinary, kennel, grooming, and zoo industries. After 12 years teaching animal welfare, she decided to set up her own dog grooming business. And after recognizing that many of the pets visiting her were suffering from dental issues, she started offering a teeth cleaning service using ultrasonic technology, which in her own words was one of the most revolutionary canine dental products she'd ever seen in her career. The service was so popular that in 2019, she launched the Dog Tooth Fairy, offering both teeth cleaning and educational services to dog owners. Anastasia, welcome to the consult room. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
So I just wanted to kick off with the recent study from the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons, which I just referenced there in the introduction. Can you relate to the findings of the study and the work that you do?
Yeah, I would definitely agree that certain breeds in particular are more prone to dental health issues. So like your brachycephalic breeds, they can be worse affected by dental health problems because of the shape of the face. So they often have undershot jaws, overcrowded teeth, and it's more places for the bacteria to lodge and form plaque and tartar. So I definitely agree as well that I've noticed that as dogs are getting older in their life stage, the plaque and the tartar seems to build up a lot quicker and easier than in younger dogs. So starting a dental care routine from an early age is very important.
So you referenced there, just going back to it, that the conformation of the dog's jaw and mouth played a factor. And are you seeing a lot more brachycephalics? Is that why you referenced that?
I think brachycephalic breeds are becoming a lot more popular. You've got like your Frenchies, your Bulldogs, your Pugs and breeds like that. Shih Tzus as well. They seem to have quite bad teeth. Your smaller breeds of dog are quite popular as well. And you do find where you've got smaller breeds, they seem to have, because they've got smaller mouths. I've got two small breeds myself. I've got a Chihuahua and a Dachshund, and I've really got to keep an eye on their teeth because as they're kind of middle-aged, and Rocco's getting a lot older actually, he's nearly 10, and their teeth just seem to take more maintenance as they're getting a bit older. But your smaller breeds, when I've worked in the grooming salon and I've been brushing dogs' teeth there, I do notice that the smaller breeds seem to have more plaque and tartar build-up than the larger breeds say.
So in your experience, what is the prevalence of dental disease in dogs?
So in my experience working as a professional dog groomer, I'd say the prevalence is pretty high. Sometimes it can be breed specific, as I've already mentioned with the brachycephalic breed, but more often than not, usually by the time the dog gets to the age of 2 or 3, you'll be starting to see some signs of plaque and tartar buildup. I would say in quite a lot of the dogs. And statistically, by the time dogs get to the age of 3, 80% of them will show some form of dental health disease or dental health problems.
So you're seeing dental issues in dogs as young as 2 or 3. And I would echo that, as a vet. But what I often find is that when you mention it to owners, they often are quite surprised and they're kind of, oh, what do you mean? Like they're only 2, you know. And do you find that as well in your line of work?
Yeah, I mean, to be quite honest, a lot of owners simply don't always think to check inside the dog's mouth or investigate them. So some owners just seem to think that the dog's teeth will miraculously self-clean. And while that can be the case sometimes with giving them certain treats like antlers and horns and things that can keep the plaque and the tartar at bay, for most dogs, a regular brushing routine is really important. And it's the responsibility as a dog owner, really, for part of the dog's health and well-being, really, to be brushing the dog's teeth.
So do you often find issues that owners aren't actually even aware of?
Yeah. So when I was doing the teeth cleaning with my client's dog, I had a client that came in with a dog for grooming that had terrible, terrible teeth. I mean, this dog had periodontal disease, gingivitis, like every sort of dental health disorder, you name it. And we kept saying, you need to go to the vets, you need to go to the vets, you need to get those teeth checked out. And it was just falling upon deaf ears, really, to the point where my employee was bathing the dog and rubbing the shampoo into the dog's muzzle during a bath, and the dog spat something out into my employee's hand, and she came and brought this rotten molar that had fallen out of the dog's mouth and said, yeah, look at this. So the dog's tooth had fallen out just because it was that rotten, really.
Now that's really sad, isn't it, hearing about that? And is it, I mean, often, you know, owners will come to vets, you know, when they're affected by the dental disease. And by that, I mean, there is a smell. So they'll say, mm-hmm. oh, you know, the mouth's, you know, really smelly. And by that point, you know, often dental disease is quite advanced, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think by the time it gets to the really smelly stage, you know, you've got a lot of like dental deterioration. You've got like the gums are receding. You've got your periodontal disease. You might have wobbly teeth, and just the whole thing can be a mess by the time it gets to that really, where the dog's got a really foul odour coming from its mouth. And sometimes it takes it to get to that point before the owners will notice that there's something wrong. Because like I mentioned before, it's not a regular thing that a lot of people go and open the dog's mouth and inspect the teeth regularly or brush them in some cases.
Mm. So you mentioned there that sounds a pretty grim case. Have you got any more examples of cases of really poor dental health in dogs that you've come across quite accidentally?
I think that I've heard other cases where, you know, dogs have all sorts of things like stuck around the teeth, so like big clumps of dog hair that have like wrapped around the teeth, and they get really sort of fermented, and they're just like growing all this bacteria on them, and they're just absolutely gross. I haven't come across anything like that personally. But some of the teeth that I have come across in my grooming career have been absolutely horrendous. And I've just said to the clients, go to the vet, go to the vet. And sometimes you've probably come across this yourself, where the clients don't really see it as being that. They don't put it to the top of the priority list. And then something will happen to the dog where the dog breaks its leg or something and it needs to go for an op. And at that point, the vet says, right, I need to take 12 teeth out of your dog. And then the owner is really surprised by that, and it's like, well, you know, you've been neglecting your dog's dental health for however many years, and this is what happens, unfortunately.
So it's interesting, isn't it, how it's fairly well understood in the human world that you need to look after your teeth. And I'm not saying that it's like you say, it's not the top of everybody's priorities, but generally it's quite well understood. But it's really interesting how people just don't assign that same importance to their dogs, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that it sometimes gets to the bottom of the list of priorities. So dog owners, you know, they might have kids, they might have, you know, meals to cook, they've got dogs to walk, they've got all these different things going on, and then brushing the dog's teeth seems to fall to the bottom of the responsibility pile. But if you can do something daily, like have the toothbrush near the kettle, or something like that. So when you're making your first brew of the morning, you can brush the dog's teeth, or having it somewhere where you really notice that toothbrush and you're mindful of, you know, brushing your dog's teeth on a regular basis.
So You've had a really diverse career across lots of different animal-related industries. What has led you to where you are now, which is specializing, if you like, in this kind of area of teeth cleaning?
Well, I've always had a lifelong passion for animals. So as a toddler, I would follow my grand around into his chicken shed and go and collect eggs. And I always lived in the countryside, so I was always trying to rehabilitate injured wildlife and trying to fix animals. So from a really early age, I always knew that I wanted to work with animals. And then I got into the career. I did 12 years at the college teaching animal welfare and management. Then set up my grooming business, but it was during the time with my grooming business that I discovered the product EmmyPet. And I've never seen anything in my whole career with animals as innovative as the EmmyPet. It really seemed to work to reduce the plaque buildup and to, improve dog's breath, improve the gum health, improve the overall dental health. And I was just so impressed with the product. The main reason for me going full time into the selling of the toothbrushes and the educating of the dog owners on the product was having my little baby girl. So I became a mum nearly 2 years ago now. And when I came back after my maternity leave, it was just quite difficult because there was a lack of childcare. I was trying to bring baby to the grooming salon and like groom dogs while baby was there. It was just virtually impossible. And because I'd already been importing the toothbrushes and selling a few toothbrushes to dog owners anyway, I just decided to let my grooming salon go and step into this full time. And I've noticed certainly since the lockdown, there's a lot more popularity and awareness of this product, and I've sold a lot more toothbrushes to a lot more dog owners since the pandemic. But there's also been an increase in dog ownership as well.
So, how does the technology differ from what you might have in your bathroom cabinet at home, which is a human ultrasonic toothbrush? How does it differ than the one for dogs?
So the ultrasonic one for dogs has been specially formulated for dogs. So the two toothbrushes are different and they operate on different technology and different ultrasonic wave frequency. So the EmmyPet toothbrush is specifically designed for dogs, but Emmy, the company who are based in Germany, they also do a human toothbrush, which is an ultrasonic human toothbrush, which I use. And that one actually vibrates. So it does make a little noise and then it beeps when it goes off and you've got to put it onto the next tooth. The EmmyPet pet version is completely silent, so it doesn't vibrate and it doesn't make a noise. So it's brilliant for nervous dogs. I love the EmmyDent human toothbrush because I'm the sort of person that brushes really hard on my own teeth and I've got like receding gums just from over brushing. So the ultrasonic one's brilliant for me because you just hold it against your tooth. And it's exactly the same with the dogs. You're just holding it against the tooth and you don't have to move it manually from side to side, which makes it really ideal for nervous dogs that maybe don't like having their teeth brushed.
So basically, you're saying that the toothbrush head doesn't vibrate like a human one. It doesn't make a sound. So actually, the dogs are not really aware of what's going on. Apart from having something in their mouth, they're not really reacting to the sound or the sensation. Is that right?
And I found that when I used it on my clients in the grooming salon, I would say about 80-85% of the dogs were absolutely chill of having it done because you're literally just placing it against the tooth and you're just moving it from one tooth to the other. And I found compared with grooming, where you're asking the dog to stand, you're maybe lifting its paw, you're maybe, trimming around its eyes or clipping its toenails, something that the dog dislikes, the teeth cleaning was a lot calmer, and you would find that dogs were a lot more responsive to it because it was a nice, calm procedure, which I find it really relaxing to do on my own dogs because they're just chilled, and I just sit and I can watch TV and brush their teeth, and I just love it.
Actually, because I have tried this toothbrush with Rodney, and I'm saying he tolerates it really well, but he's actually pretty good with a normal toothbrush anyway, because I've did it with him since he was a little puppy. But I do agree with you. The fact you're just holding it there rather than what you do with a manual toothbrush, which is like you're kind of going backwards and forwards. You try and almost replicate how you would brush your own teeth with a manual toothbrush in dogs. And it's not, he didn't really used to like that because he'd be kind of chewing on the brush and chewing on the toothpaste and trying to, you know, kind of. So it did feel like it was quite an easy process. Do most of the dogs tolerate it that you work with?
Yeah, I find that most of the dogs that I have used the brush on have tolerated it really well. The only thing that you have to be aware of is because the bristles are so sensitive and they act as transmitters, if your dog likes to chew the bristles, if the bristles become splayed or broken, you will find that your toothbrush will flash red because it's a really intelligent toothbrush. So that red flash will be indicating that the toothbrush head isn't working, so it's not transmitting the waves. And at that point, if you've let your dog technically like destroy the brush head, you'll have to throw it away and replace the brush head. But they're only about a fiver to buy, so they're quite easy to replace. But it's because the piezo chip has the technology in it, so you have to make sure that your dog doesn't bite the bristles or the brush head.
How long would you expect until you saw results from an ultrasonic toothbrush at home with your dog?
So results can vary, and a lot of it, a dog's dental health condition will be determined by the dog's age, the dog's lifestyle, the dog's diet, the dog's conformation of its dental construction. So there's a lot of different factors, and every dog's different. So one dog, you might brush its teeth, you know, three times and you're seeing a real difference. Some dogs, you might have to have a few more goes with the toothbrush before you were seeing a difference. But any dogs with really heavy plaque and tartar or any signs of any gum redness, I would always advise to go to your vets and get veterinary advice, because there might be some underlying conditions that you can't see, problems with the tooth root or the gums deep down. So it's always best to get the advice of a vet as well.
And I, like, as I said, I'm giving this a trial with Rodney. He's only a year old at the moment. So, you know, he doesn't have any signs of dental issues at the moment, like plaque or tartar. But how often would you recommend that I use this ultrasonic toothbrush with him to as a preventive measure?
So because of Rodney's age, he isn't going to be getting the really accelerated buildup of bacteria and plaque forming on his teeth. So a couple of times a week is absolutely fine. You know, you don't have to like go crazy and be doing them every day. But as long as you're doing it, you know, at least a couple of times a week, that should keep it all maintained. But I think the key is starting, like you've done a brilliant thing, starting with Rodney when he's really young. And that's what all dog owners should be thinking about and doing, because prevention's better than cure. And if you can prevent a problem from starting, then you're going to save yourself a lot of you know, problems in the future.
Yeah. So sometimes when you see dogs that have got quite a lot of plaque and tartar build up on their teeth, you know, and the owners say, oh, will teeth brushing help? And as a vet, I'd often think, actually, at the moment, probably not. I think we need to get all that stuff off, and, you know, come in for a scale and polish and then actually start the teeth cleaning. Would you agree, or have you seen with the ultrasonic toothbrush that you can actually resolve built up plaque?
I would agree with you that it is, if it's got really heavy, thick tartar, the dog's far better to go to the vet and then start with a clean slate, and then with the EmiPet, get into a regular maintenance routine so that you can prevent the veterinary dental hopefully from happening again in the future. Because you do find with dogs, once they go for a vet dental and they get a scale and polish, I think that a lot of clients think, oh, that's it, it's fixed now. I'm good for the next however many years. But sometimes as little as sort of 6 to 12 months, that problem is coming back again, especially in your older dogs. So you're going to need that vet dental regularly if you don't put a preventative measure in place.
So do you think that dogs of any age can get used to teeth brushing? Because we say there it's great to start it when they're younger, but we also then said that a lot of people, you know, just don't recognise that you need to address your dog's teeth until, you know, there's a problem. But do you think, have you, in your experience, have you had older dogs that are getting used to this kind of teeth brushing?
Yeah, so a lot of older dogs might prefer to have the EpiPen because as a dog gets older, the anaesthetic risk will get higher of being put under the anaesthetic for a dental. And if the dog's tartar buildup wasn't so bad and it could respond to the EpiPen treatment, then the EpiPen could help do with the plaque and sort of mild tartar buildup. And an older dog can be responsive to EpiPen. It's all down to temperament. So a lot of dogs are pretty accepting of it, but I have had some little old cratchety Shih Tzus and things where it has, they've just been not tolerant of it at all. And I've had to say to the client, I'm really sorry, but you're going to have to go to the vets and get the dental because it's just too stressful for an old dog that really doesn't want to have it done.
What advice would you give to people who are currently struggling to clean their dog's teeth? They want to do it, but like you say, sometimes dogs are a little bit resistant. What advice would you give?
So if the dog's really reluctant to have its teeth cleaned, and you're wanting to do something to help with the dental health condition, you can get products to help that you can add to the food. So there's powder that has like a seaweed formula. You can add that to the food, and that can help with the plaque and the tartar. You've got your Orozyme gel, which has got a really mild abrasive formula in it, so that'll almost polish the teeth and get some of the plaque and tartar off that way. And you just apply that with your finger. You can get the antlers, the horns for the dogs to chew on. And one that I really like to do with my little Dachshund Winnie, I like to give her a raw carrot because that's really good and at sort of helping to get the plaque and the tartar off her teeth.
Just going into the technical terminology we use, we have talked a bit about plaque and a bit about tartar. Can you talk me through what the difference is between those two terms?
So I would describe plaque as the earlier stages. So your plaque is when your foodstuffs and your bacteria gets lodged in the little crevices of the teeth or around the gum line, and it just starts to build up gradually, and it'll start to harden, and it'll start to mineralize, and then it turns into tartar. So your tartar is your thicker, heavier, it's sometimes like quite a dark brown colour, and it's almost like a big thick hulk, and the appearance of it almost looks like stone, sort of a stone appearance. It's quite hard and tough. So the plaque is the earlier stuff or the earlier signs. So plaque is often like a yellow film that you see building around the gum line.
So, what are the typical signs then? We've mentioned plaque tartar. What are the typical signs? If you open the dog's mouth and say, oh, this dog's got dental issues, what sort of things would you see?
You can see all kinds of things, dental issues and dental health wise. So you've got your plaque and your tartar, which I've just talked about. Then you've got periodontal disease, which is like the supporting structures of the teeth start to break down. So your supporting structures being like your tooth root and your gums, everything starts to get a bit wobbly, a bit loose. You might start seeing wobbly teeth. You've got your gingivitis, so you've an infection gets in the gum line, the gums start to get red. It can start quite mild, but then it can get really aggressive and quite angry looking. The gums can get swollen, they can bleed quite easily. You can get receding gums where the gum line literally just wants to peel away from the tooth, and you'll see exposed roots. You can get cavities, which is holes in the dog's teeth, so there's all sorts of things. You can get your abscesses as well, which are quite smelly and disgusting, and infection. So pretty much all the things that you can get as a human, you can also get as a dog.
And I think it's worth mentioning at this point, isn't it, that actually what's going on in the mouth doesn't necessarily stay in the mouth. So all the things you've described there can lead to disease and health issues elsewhere in the body, like kidney disease, liver disease, generalized kind of infection throughout the body. So yeah, it's really important, isn't it, that when you see those kind of things that you do get them addressed.
Yeah, and I think that people don't often realize that the infection, if it's getting into the bloodstream, can go around the organs and can cause a lot worse problems for the dog.
This episode is sponsored by Superdog from Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company.
Like all members of the family, your dog needs a balanced diet that includes a range of vitamins and minerals to stay healthy and full of vitality. Superdog's chewable, tasty braised beef tablets are packed with over 21 nutrients, expertly formulated for your special companion. Superdog's available now at Amazon, Ocado, Paws, Superdrug and Vitabiotics.com.
How did you come up with the Dog Tooth Fairy? Because I think the name's brilliant. Where did that come from?
Do you know? I honestly don't know. I started to sell the toothbrushes and I just thought that using my own name would be a little bit boring. And I just felt like a bit of a tooth fairy when I was working on these dogs' teeth and making the breath and the teeth nice and shiny and sparkly. I just felt like a bit of a tooth fairy. So then the name came about. And I'm quite lucky that my sister is a graphic designer. She thrown together a little logo for me. And then the Tooth Fairy was born.
So, Anastasia, talk me through the ultrasonic technology in this toothbrush. How does it work?
So your ultrasonic technology, you've got the ultrasonic waves that pass up the handle of the toothbrush. Now, those ultrasonic waves, they travel at 96 million oscillations per minute. So an oscillation, I'll just describe for you what an oscillation is. So it's the wave when it goes up and down once. So 96 million of them in a minute is this toothbrush is an absolute workhorse. So there's two versions of the EmiPet toothbrush. There's a version one, and then there's a more superior upgraded model, which is version two. If I was to advise a dog owner of which one to buy, I would say go for version two, because I think the price difference is about £30. And for spending that extra £30, the toothbrush will work a lot quicker. You get more bang for your buck. And it's just more of a workhorse than the first generation toothbrush.
So what do these 96 million oscillations a minute do? What are these sound waves doing when they travel up the head of the toothbrush? How does that translate to teeth cleaning?
So the oscillations is the wave, and it's how quick that the wave works. So that travels up the handle. It hits the piezo chip in the brush head, and the piezo chip is where all of the magic happens. So the ultrasonic waves hit that piezo chip, they travel up the bristles, and the oscillations is just the speed at which it works. So the first generation toothbrush didn't have as many oscillations, so it's the clocking. So if you imagine a wave goes up and down once, and that's like a clock. Mm-hmm. So the first generation toothbrush would be like a longer clock because there was less per minute. And with the second generation toothbrush, the clock is a lot more rapid and you get more oscillations per minute.
So the oscillations travel up the toothbrush, then they hit this piezo chip, and then those oscillations are translated to the bristles. What happens then? What happens on the surface of the tooth?
What will happen is on the bristles, you're getting your little microscopic nano bubbles, and it's those nano bubbles that are creating the suction, and the suction removes the impurities from the gum line, the teeth, and it those waves are going 12 millimeters under the gum line to actually pull all the bacteria out, and it sterilizes as it works as well.
So I've never heard of a nano bubble. So is this when you've got the water and the toothpaste on the toothbrush head and it meets with this ultrasonic kind of frequency and it creates this little, I've got this vision in my head of like a miniature car wash going on, but you can't see, you can't see any of this, can you? Because it's all down at a very microscopic level. Is that right?
Yeah. So it is a microscopic nano bubble, and it was like proven through the German veterinary health association, and they've proven the nano bubble technology.
So that's really interesting. So you've got this little miniature kind of car wash going on. Well, you can't see or feel or hear any of it. Yeah. But what you're saying is it's creating these little microscopic nano bubbles, and they are sucking all the impurities from actually below the gum line, which is where we know a lot of these problems originate. So they're mm-hmm. sucking all this, but all you have to do is hold it on the tooth. Is that right? You don't have to, do you hold it on the gums, or is it just on the tooth?
So I hold it on the tooth itself, but sometimes, I mean, depending on the toothbrush, you can use like a larger size brush that's large and small. but the toothbrush would cover the tooth and a little bit onto the gums, so it covers both the gum line and the tooth itself.
Right, I love this technology. This sounds fantastic. And I know that it doesn't create a reaction because I have, tried it with Rodney and he seemed to be quite cool. Like he didn't seem to react at all. But I also, because it was so silent and quiet, because I have got an ultrasonic toothbrush, human one for myself, I was actually very skeptical about whether or not it was doing anything. So I was a bit like, oh, this is quite nice and easy, but is it actually doing anything? But that's really interesting that it's all happening at such that microscopic level.
And that's like something that I come across quite regularly. If I sell a toothbrush to someone, they charge it up and then they get into a state of panic and they contact me and say, oh, like it's not vibrating or it's not making a noise. But as long as that green light's on, it's telling you that it's working. And that is just it. When it's working, it's completely silent and it doesn't vibrate.
I love that you're traveling around the country, improving the dental health of dogs. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Have you got dogs yourself?
Yes, I've got two little small dogs.
And what are their teeth like?
So I've got two little small dogs. I've got Rocco, my Chihuahua, and I've got a Winnie, who is my little Dachshund. So I adopted Rocco when he was 2 years old. And he actually, when I adopted him, he was entire. He hadn't been castrated. So the first thing that I did, I took him at the vets to get all of his jabs up to date and to get him castrated. And like I say, he was only two, and the vets noticed that he had a really bad tooth. It was just one tooth in his mouth. Can't even remember which tooth it was, but the vet did an extraction when he was under the anaesthetic to get his castration. But now he's almost 10, and touch wood, he hasn't needed any further dental work. So I put that down completely to EmiPet. But when I went on maternity leave from my salon, I couldn't drive for quite a number of weeks. And my EmiPet toothbrush was at my salon with my employee. And I just noticed in that sort of 4 to 6 week period where I wasn't driving and I couldn't go to the salon and get the dog's teeth brushed, the deterioration of my two dogs, I was actually quite taken aback by how quickly that the plaque and tartar had started to form on my dogs. But like I say, Rocco's nearly 10. But then I actually purchased the EmiPet second generation toothbrush because I realized that I wasn't getting to the salon like I needed to. And I did about three sessions on Winnie's teeth, and I really noticed after three sessions, her teeth were restored back to her usual Holly Woof smile.
It's funny, isn't it? Because you say that you didn't obviously get to brush the teeth for just a few weeks, and you really noticed that. But if you think about it, if we didn't brush our teeth for 6 weeks, you would absolutely expect there to be a build-up of bacteria, plaque. It'd be pretty grotty, wouldn't it? So it isn't actually that surprising, is it? But I suppose the question is, wouldn't you start using or start implementing a dental care regime like this? You have to keep it up, don't you? You'll have to just keep going with it. So it is a lifetime commitment, isn't it?
It
To, yeah. Do you have any more success stories of dogs that have adopted ultrasonic cleaning at home and have improved their mouths?
just overall improvement of gum health. So dogs that were showing early signs of gums becoming pink, sort of darker pink and inflamed. After a few sessions of the EmiPet, the inflammation will just go down and, sort of the gums are restored to the normal sort of healthy pink colour. And just overall freshness of breath and improvement of the overall aesthetic of the dog's teeth. So yeah, I've seen quite a lot of success with my own dogs and a few clients' dogs too.
It was so interesting to hear about this technology and to see that dental health products that we completely take for granted in humans are now available for dogs. I really hope that products such as this can help owners to prevent painful and expensive health problems that we see all too often. So if you want some more information about home ultrasonic toothbrushes or even take part in some online Zoom training demonstrations from our guest today, then you can reach out to Anastasia through social media at the Dog Tooth Fairy or via email, thedogtoothfairy@ theconsultroom@gmail.com.
You've been listening to The Consult Room. I really hope you've enjoyed today's show. Please do subscribe, follow, or share this podcast. I'd love to hear your feedback. If you want to get in touch or collaborate, then do reach out to us at theconsultroom.co.uk or connect with me on social media as Dr. Paul the Vet or Dr. Paul Magtalone.